Today we're going to do basically a review of last year. We're going to kind of look through the series that we did. Some of you were here for half the year. Some of you are new to us in that. Some of you moved away and now you've come back, at least for Christmas time. And so we're just going to kind of do a review of what we talked about this year because it was such an important theme. And I think what this year did was set us up in many respects for this coming year, for 2021. And there are some things this year that I would encourage you, if you haven't implemented into your life, that you begin to implement these things into your life. And why? Because you'll see that as we do things God's way, it takes us to a place where we're healthy, where we're strong, where we've got purpose. So let's take a look at it. Last year, our theme for the year is healthy in, healthy out. What goes in, comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Health in, it just makes sense. It's a natural law. That's good, isn't it? If you begin to do the good things in life, the things that God says are right, the things that God says are good, they're always going to be good for us. So much has happened this year, and today we're going to take a walk through the things that we talked about. And in January, we began with our series, Healthy In and Healthy Out, with this concept. God uses words to speak. That's where we started last January. God knows that it is imperative that He communicates very clearly to us what He likes and doesn't like. Can you imagine getting to heaven and finding out that there are some things that are really important to God, but He never communicated it to us? Or He hinted at it, and we never picked up on it? Wouldn't that be frustrating? What if God really wanted us to bring bubblegum to heaven with us to give to Him as a gift? What if? We would have had to find a way to get bubblegum to heaven. We can't get bubblegum to heaven, can we? Well, if God wanted it, then we could. We would be able to take it up there. He'd find a way to make that happen. And we would make sure that we did it. We would make sure that we found a way to get that up there. God has communicated the things that He likes and doesn't like very clearly. And when it comes to you and God, it's easy for us to take every situation in life and try to use it to find out what God is communicating. You know, nonverbal communication. We can take that and think about it all day long. If a glass falls out of the cabinet and breaks on the floor, it's easy to stop and go, what is God trying to say? Is this what my day is going to be like? If I lose my car keys, is God trying to tell me I don't need to go? If I find $20 on the ground, is God giving me His favor? Does that mean that I'm living in His favor because I found $20? And we can look for all those nonverbals and listen to some of the nonverbals that are happening around us and think that it's God speaking. But let me tell you this. God has been very clear. Here's what I do know that's far more valuable than all the nonverbals in the world. God has been very clear with what He likes and doesn't like. And God has chosen a solid line of communication. And He's not dependent upon all of these nonverbals in your life for you to try to figure it out. He has given us His words. God has communicated to us in words. And that's how we began last year. God has been very clear with words, what He likes and what He doesn't like. He's got it in there. We know it and we can implement these things in our lives. And when it comes to us being healthy spiritually and physically and emotionally and in every way, mentally, we can find clear direction from heaven in His word because He's given it to us in words. That's huge. And here's a clear point for us to know as we started this last year with. We don't believe in God, the God of the Bible, because the Bible says so. That's not why we believe in Him. We believe in Him because He personally came and said so. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's Jesus. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. He's the Creator. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's it. Jesus is the Word. That's huge. And God has communicated clearly to us. We don't have to worry about all the nonverbals. We do need to be concerned with getting to understand what He's really said and what He put on paper for us. Now, throughout this initial series, we looked at God's clear communication to us from Scripture to find out what healthy in looks like. What does God say healthy in looks like? And there are some things out there, you know, social issues that sometimes people get caught up on and get frustrated with. And God has communicated very clearly on some of those things. And what is He saying? He's saying, hey, if you live this way, if you practice life this way, not based on your feelings, but based on what I say is healthy in, based on what I say is good and right, your life is going to be healthy. You're going to have good relationships. And life is going to work for you. How much easier it is to start the path, though, than it is to keep the path. How many of you last January, you made a resolution that you were going to lose 20 pounds this year? No, some of you did. Okay. I'm not going to ask if you got that done. We had one that needed a gain, and she did. Yay! So we make these resolutions, we make these ideal situations that, all right, this is what my year is going to be like. And it's hard to keep it going after, what, 20, 30 days we start falling away from it. Well, last year in this time we talked about how Moses lived an unhealthy life when God came and called him to go rescue the Israelites. Moses was not living a very healthy life. And we know that based on what happened right after that. He had to make a transition from being unhealthy and to begin living a healthy life. The story is amazing. He was about to get killed by God on his way to Egypt. Look at what it says. The Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. God was mad at him. He was frustrated with him. So God met him at the burning bush, said, go rescue the Israelites. Moses didn't want to do it. He gave he said, no, I can't do that. He gave every excuse in the world. No, God, there's other people that should be able to do that. He didn't want to do it. Why? Because Moses didn't want to. He wasn't healthy. He wasn't living the greatest life. He was just out there taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Well, he hadn't circumcised his son as God had told him to do. And when you read the short story, you don't get the sense that Moses is deliberately just disobeying God. He's not like, God, I'm not going to support your decision that my son needs to be circumcised. That wasn't it at all. He was just passive. He's just haphazard, not caring about it. He wasn't thinking about it. Well, his wife Zipporah, she got word somehow from God that God was about to kill her husband. Now, it's interesting because Zipporah, she quickly grabbed a knife at the hotel. So they're in a hotel on their way to Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but my kids, when we go to a hotel, they're pretty excited people. They run around, they find the Coke machine, they find the ice machine, they feel big, you know, of course now they're grown up, but when they were younger, they felt big when mom would ask them to go get ice from the ice machine, they'd go marching down, I want to push the button on the elevator, and they were excited about it. Well, you can imagine this little guy was excited. We don't know for sure how old he was, but he was excited. They were on the road, they were traveling, they were in a hotel, and mom suddenly comes at him with a knife. What a horrible moment in this kid's life. And she saves her husband by quickly circumcising her son. And she goes to Moses and she throws the foreskin at his feet and she says, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. She was mad at him. And Moses hadn't lived a healthy life and it was now bleeding over, not just affecting him, but it was bleeding over and affecting the rest of his family and the people around him, the people that he loved the most. You see, it's easy to start a good path. It's hard to keep a good path, though. Have you started a good path in life? Have you started healthy in? If you have, you've probably already started seeing healthy out. But if you haven't, today's the day. So in the middle of that, we presented the opportunity to, this was last January, to come and be in this chapel. We were surprised with the opportunity, and God opened that door, and we signed the contract. You guys began giving and made it possible. It was just absolutely awesome. Faith, what a great step of faith we've taken, and we've got some new family members because of it that you guys would not have been able to find us, and we're so happy for that. So, and the very next sermon after that Sunday, we didn't even have a sermon that Sunday. We just talked and heard testimonies. It was a lot of fun. Well, the very next sermon, we talked about how important you are. And you're important to the enemy. Did you realize that? The enemy wants to hold you, wants to keep you. Some of you have faced addiction. Some of you have faced a lot of guilt in your life that keeps being thrown in your face. Guess what? The more of that that tries to keep you from heaven, that tries to keep you from a relationship with God, the more that you've got of that going on, guess what that means? It means the enemy wants to keep you. And that means how important you are to the enemy. And if you're that important to the enemy, then how important are you to God and us? Pride tells you that you're not important. Well, that doesn't make sense. I thought pride was telling me how important I was. No, it's just as well. Pride tells you you're not important. You don't matter. That what you do doesn't matter. That's pride. Ah, what I do doesn't matter. Nobody's paying attention. I try to not make myself accountable or people depending on me. I'm just not going to do that. That's pride. You weren't created with purpose in mind. Yes, you were. Pride tells you you weren't. Your life is just one big accident or one little accident. No, it's not. Your life matters. When you embrace how valuable you really are in this life, you will embrace your responsibility to take care of you. Healthy in means healthy out. Y'all remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And Daniel? When they got to Babylon, they'd been taken into captivity, and the king was going to make them the strongest guys, and they were awesome guys. They were without physical defect. They were handsome. They were smart. They had great instincts, and the king of Babylon was going to make them into the greatest leaders. He was going to train them, and he was going to groom them for his own purposes in the kingdom, and instead of bringing them into the kingdom to make them slaves, he was going to make them leaders. He would prepare them, and he assigned them a daily amount of food from his table. And this would be a 3-year school for them to get ready and prepared. He gave them books and things to read, and getting them ready for his service was important. But they realized very quickly that the food that he was giving them was not healthy. And they said, man, this is not good. We've got God's purpose inside of us. We need to get better than this. We've got to eat better than this. We're not going to live past next year if we keep eating like this. And so they told him, look, we don't want to eat the king's food. We just want vegetables or whatever it was that they decided that they were going to eat. Well, the dean of the school, he heard about this, and he was like, wait a second. This is not good. My neck is on the line if these guys turn out scrawny. We need them to look healthy and strong. And they said, all right, this is what we're going to do. So the guard that was over them, they said, give us 10 days to eat the way we want to eat. If we don't look better in 10 days than the rest of the guys, then we'll eat what you're feeding us. Well, the guard said, okay, we'll give you 10 days. And guess what? They looked healthier. They looked stronger. They were better than everybody else because of the health in. Now, the encouraging part of this is, you can have a marked difference in your life in just 10 days if you begin to do what's right for this body. In just 10 days, you're going to see the difference. If you stop using whatever it is that you're using that's wrong, that's bad for you, that's unhealthy for you, if you stop eating what's wrong or unhealthy for you, in just 10 days, you're going to notice a difference. Isn't that encouraging? What if you treated your mind, your eyes, your ears, your heart, your body, like everything that went into it mattered for just 10 days? You'd be better. And we talked after that about the heroes of faith. You ever read Hebrews chapter 11? It's the Hall of Faith chapter. It's beautiful. Great heroes of faith. People that made so many bad mistakes in life. Those are our heroes of faith. It's encouraging. Why? Because you see God's grace and God's purpose. People went through great trials, disappointments, struggles, problems, failures. But they trusted God in spite of it all. People that never saw God's promises come to pass, but still trusted Him. We talked about move on. This was one of my favorites. Move on. When you're following God, you come to places in your life where it seems impossible. You come to that block, that roadblock, or that wall. The Israelites came to that at one point. They were surrounded by mountains on each side. The Red Sea was in front of them. And they turned around and Egypt was coming behind them as a problem. You know, so many times we come to that place in life, struggling with an addiction. Maybe there's a big loss in our lives. We don't know how to move on. A bad relationship. We feel stuck in it. We don't know how to move on. That dead-end job. Voices that you heard growing up. Don't know how to move past those voices and move on. Maybe it's the sins that you've committed and you just don't know how to get past them to move on. Well, Moses and the Israelites were at that place, that dead end. They were surrounded. And Moses looked at them and he said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." He was right when he said, "Don't be afraid." He was right when he said, "You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." He was right when he said, "The Egyptians you see, you'll not see them ever again in your life. This enemy is going to be gone forever." And he was wrong, though, when he said, "You need only to be still," because the very next verse, God told him this: "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Wait a second. The water is right there in front of us. And Moses stretched out his staff. And the waters parted, and they moved on. You might need that move on experience in your life today. You might need to take that step of faith to cross that Red Sea and see it open up. And guess what? The same God that got them to move on then is the same God. You might have been praying and praying and praying. And there are times that God says, "Stop praying. Why are you crying out to me? Get up and move. I've already taken care of this." That unhealthy friendship, that addiction, that loss, that dead-end job, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. So our last service at the Music Academy was March 8th. Some of you were there for that. And the sermon was, "God wants to eat with you." God wants to eat with you. The scripture that we used was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." This was the last sermon before our nation shut down with COVID. Isn't that prophetic? "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." And here's the beauty of this. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Your enemies are not welcome at the table. They might be around you, but they don't get to sit at the table with you and Jesus. Sickness and disease, they might be present, but there's no room at the table for them. Those who hate you, those who may abuse you, those who may bully you, they might be present. But there's no room at the table for them. It's just you and Jesus. Oh, and I love this one. Your bills, your house payment, that car payment, your electric bill, they might be present, but there's no room at the table for them. He prepares a table for you in the wilderness. Isn't that beautiful? Those who put you down, those who try to keep you down, there is no room for them at the table. It's just you and Jesus. Your ungodly boss, yeah. No room for them at the table. Your ungodly family members, those that were just at Christmas time. You can pray for them, but guess what? You get to sit down at a table where it's just you and Jesus and have this conversation. None of them are invited, but you have a seat at the table with Jesus. When is the last time you sat at the table and ate with him? When is the last time you sat down and ate with him and talked with him and read scripture with him? All of these other things may be present, but when you sit down and you have a meal with Jesus, all of that. See, this is what's not happening. No wonder people are so afraid. No wonder people are so afraid. No wonder people are fighting depression. No wonder people are afraid that God has not conquered their enemies. No wonder people are fighting for survival today. We forget how good he is, and he's prepared a table in the presence of your enemies. When are you at the table with Jesus? When you are, your enemies don't matter. Nothing else matters. And that very week is when our nation shut down and families were suddenly sitting at the dinner table again. All throughout the day. No sports practice schedules. Suddenly, our biggest problem in life was finding toilet paper. What a year. So then we started an online series. It was called Tips for Staying Together, trying to keep you guys moving forward. At first, we did a pre-recorded message. It was pretty funny. You know, just played a video for you. It was just awkward for me. I'm not great at, you know, I have probably a better face and voice for radio than TV, you know. But in this series, Tips for Staying Together, we talked about things like appearing full-handed. In every relationship, you have two things for it to be a long-term relationship that you need. One is your responsibility, and the other is your generosity. And if you don't take care of those two things in every relationship that you've got, you'll lose those relationships. This is why we struggle with long-term relationships. If we're not taking care of our responsibility in that relationship, and if we're not taking care of our generosity in that relationship. Responsibility is the required amount that you have to do to keep that relationship. Generosity is the amount beyond responsibility. Every long-term relationship needs some generosity, not just the bare responsibility. Generosity is dessert. Generosity is recreation. Generosity is steak instead of it just being spaghetti. You understand? Generosity makes the relationship fun at some level. Generosity is grace and mercy beyond responsibility. Generosity isn't what's required to sustain someone's life, but it is required to maintain healthy and happy life with the people that you live. So we're talking about tips for staying together. And during this time, one of the sermons that I wrote as a tip for staying together was, have a baby. But I never preached that one. So we'll find a way to put that one in somewhere else. We looked at how God builds a home, and getting our tips for staying together is how God builds his home is how we can build our home. Giving grace in our relationships, living with passion for life, sowing good seeds and good ground. That's how God builds his home. And removing the pressure that we put on others. So many times we put pressure on each other to perform so much that it's just too much. And giving grace and mercy and helping each other to move forward and helping each other. Sometimes we put too much pressure on each other to do what we want them to do, and we've got to make sure that we're not doing that. Tips for staying together. How many of you have ever really felt pressured from God? Not really. Maybe from his word sometimes you feel like, okay, this is where I need to go. But really to feel like he's just hammering you and nagging you, we've never been nagged by God. It's our own pressure. So then we moved into a series called God's Way. And this is where some of you guys came in. And we had a great short video series that we used through that. Our students put it together. It was awesome. I don't know what y'all are looking at, but yeah, there's cone heads and... The starting point for doing life God's way is remember what he did for you. Do you remember what he did for you? God says, and rightfully so, because I did this for you, now you do this for me. That's how God looks at our relationship. In many ways, he says, hey, look, I came all in, and I'm asking you to come all in now. Living God's way is a response to God's grace, not a way to achieve God's grace. Our obedience is to be a response of gratitude to God. With gratitude, that's why I obey him. We talked about Satan's involvement in our lives, how he brings pain into our lives. And instead of every time we have a problem in our life, we say, where's God? Why don't we say, well, where's Satan? Why is he doing this? Instead, we just blame it on God. He has involvement in our lives and he wants to destroy you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to keep you from God's plan and purpose in your life. Living God's way is saying, okay, no matter what happens, I'm going to respond and react and I'm going to live God's way. We talked about being peacemakers, peacekeepers, worshiping God and only God. Good people doing good things means good things are going to happen in this world. And we finished the series with this. God's way is making your life stable. Doing the things in life that make you stable. That means health, finances, everything in your life. Your spiritual life, your emotional life, reading scripture, doing the things that make you stable in this life. That's God's way in our lives. And after that series, we went back into the healthy in, healthy out. And this was one of my favorite parts of the year, cultivating affection. Cultivating affection. Cultivating and developing friendship in our lives. Two or more people having purpose together for God is friendship. And learning how to have friendship. And when two people decide we're going to go different ways, guess what? That friendship goes away, doesn't it? And when we come together as a church and we say, all right, this is the way we're going to function. This is how we're going to live together and do life together. That's friendship. Experiencing romance. We all want romance in our lives. Don't tell me you don't, because I know you do. God gave us that desire. And when two people have an insatiable appetite to be with each other, that's romance. That comes out of, all three of those come out of God's agape love. And that's what we talked about the last week. The love that God is, we can have and we can be it. Agape love. And out of that flows the other three, cultivating affection, friendship, and romance. It was a great series. All of this is online on our website. You can go and listen to them. Then we moved into our Reach and Raise series, and we talked about how Jesus talked about us being rich towards God, giving our lives wholly to him. James David, would you come? Wholly and freely to God. Being rich towards him. Having zeal for God's house. God's kingdom. Being excited about what he loves. What does God love? He loves when we reach, and he loves when we raise. When we reach the lost and we raise up people for Christ, that's what he loves. And using our gifts for that, And during this series, we were training our new facilitators for our groups that we're starting in just a few weeks. These people are going to be doing a lot of raising this year. You're going to be able to invite friends and family, neighbors, people that you meet in the store, and know that they're going to be able to come to a place where they'll be taken care of if they want to be. After that, we went into our Thanksgiving series, but then on December 6th, we talked about it being a spiritual hospital, and we did our first commissioning service where we prayed over our four graduates, commissioning them into ministry. What a beautiful service that was. And over the last few weeks, we talked about the heart of Christmas, God's love and God's hope. So as we close out this year, I hope you can stop and say, man, we've learned a lot. But what am I doing with it? How much of it have I really let my soul digest and put into practice? And let me ask you this. Are you ready for an amazing year? Have you let healthy come in so much that this whole next year can be healthy out? I believe as a church family, as a church body we have, as you can see, man, we've covered a lot this year, a lot of healthy in. We have facilitators trained. We have a beautiful location. We didn't have this going into last year. We have chairs ready for people. And we have you. Some of you that we didn't have last year. Are you open to God doing some great things in your life? That's the question. Are you open to God doing some great things in your life? So let me be honest with you. What that looks like in many respects is being able to change sometimes your schedule. Sometimes it's priorities. Being able to change how you perceive your past, your mistakes, your failures, your hurts, your pains. Being able to forgive somebody in your life that you haven't been willing to forgive. One of the things we're going to be talking about as we go into this year, in order for you to receive the favor of God in your life, you have to forgive people in your life. But so many people don't understand what that is. They think they're just going to let those people get off scot-free. That's not it at all. Forgiveness is you letting you off the hook and giving them over to God to deal with. It's time to move on. And when the clock strikes 12 o'clock and 1 second, we're going to believe for a new beginning for each of us. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here today and God is doing something in your life. It's time. It's time to believe. So what I'm going to ask you for is to believe that all of next year is going to be the greatest year for you to be a part of what God wants to do. For God to really work inside of you and through you in His kingdom. There to be every day something important that God has a mission for you in this life. And that He's going to prepare you for it. But you got to open your heart up, maybe your schedule, whatever it is that you ask Him for to give you wisdom. God, help me to prepare. Help me to do this. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives this year. We're so grateful. We're grateful for a house to worship in. We're grateful, Father, for all the things that you've provided for our music, for our people that love to serve in the kids' church, and all the things that we accomplish on a daily and weekly basis as a church family. We thank you for tools. And God, we thank you for people that are starting to grow and be able to teach. And we ask you for more. We ask you, Father, for souls. Right now, there are people that have their houses for sale in other states. There are people that will be moving here. There are people that are going to move into this community that need a church family. And you've provided for them. Help us as we prepare. Help us to do what you've called us to. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for all of the healthy in this year. Now, God, help us to let your health flow through us into others. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And maybe you're here today and you've recognized that you need that new relationship with God. God has forgiven you. He loves you. Yes, you may have blown it. You may have sinned. Even if you're just young, you still need Jesus and what he did on the cross. Just invite him into your life right now. God, I believe in you, and I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for washing me and cleansing me from my sin. Your forgiveness, thank you for it. So today I turn my life over to you, and I give it to you, and I want to walk with you for the rest of it. Help me to embrace your kingdom as my purpose. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.